If you love to travel, Capital One has a rewards credit card that's perfect for you. With the Capital One Venture X card, you earn unlimited double miles on everything you buy. Plus, you get premium benefits at a collection of luxury hotels when you book on Capital One Travel. And with Venture X, you get access to over 1,000 airport lounges worldwide. Open up a world of travel possibilities with the Capital One Venture X card. What's in your wallet?
Terms apply. Lounge access is subject to change. See CapitalOne.com for details.
Duff kid.
All I gotta say is Portland can't say shit.
It's scintillating! It's sensational! It's Seattle Sounders FC Soccer!
Yeah, that song always gets me so hyped up. What's up, everybody, and welcome to Sounder Scuttlebutt. I'm your host for tonight, Cameron Collins, because Aaron did something stupid. He went and had a baby on Valentine's Day, and now he can't do the podcast because apparently he didn't just get paternity leave from work. He got it from the podcast as well. But instead, we have the best Sounders dad around filling in. What's up, Nicholas Biella?
Hey, thanks for having me on yet again. Always appreciate it. I think last episode I was filling in for you, now filling in for Aaron. Next thing I know, look forward to next episode where I'm running it solo.
Yes, exactly. I was unfortunately out with COVID for the last episode, and that really kicked my butt. So thankfully I'm back to, I don't know if I'd say full strength, but I'm healthy. I don't have COVID anymore, so... that's at least good. It really, I don't know if you've had it, Nick, but it took a toll on me.
You know, about 3 weeks ago, I got really sick. You could probably still hear just a little bit in my voice, yeah. Where I just didn't test positive for COVID, but certainly had something. I had to take 2 days off work where I just was laying on the couch all day, barely moving. And since then, taking a deep breath, is going to result in me coughing.
Wow. Yeah, you better get checked. RSV. It could be that. That's going around, and it tends to come through the kitties, so.
Yeah, I mean, that's kind of what I think it was. And then I just flew in from Colorado, my annual pond hockey tournament this last weekend. So, you know, been you know, nothing says resting your lungs like going up 10,000 feet and playing hockey.
Yeah, especially what's your team name?
Oh, we are the Seattle Super Chronics. we have fantastic uniforms, and we love giving stuff away to people, other teams that are in attendance. We make all kinds of swag for them and just make it just a really fun, enjoyable atmosphere. My ninth year doing it, and it's just perfect. Every President's Day weekend, just going and having a good time.
That's awesome. It always seems like such fun, and I enjoy the pictures that you post from the tournament.
Yeah, it's definitely a lot of fun.
Well, speaking of mind-altering substances, I think you might have a beer there to open, huh?
I do. Oh. How about you?
The classic. You know me, I've been doing water lately. And today I've done Waterloo, not my regular Liquid Death, because we are today celebrating the defeat of Napoleon in the Battle of Waterloo. Smell that French blood running through the streets. What you got?
Smells
there?
Like revolution. Well, I have my classic choice, a can of Renier.
Oh yeah. Le fromage. How I love le fromage.
Wow. It's almost like you lived in France. For a minute, I I was transported to the cobblestone streets of Paris.
Yes, right up to Place de la Porte de Champagne, where I always said hello to my friendly corner sex worker as I walked in, and we shared niceties every day because that was her corner. And we had a McDonald's across the street too that I would go to and get croque monsieur.
Mr. Croc?
Croc. I don't know what it means. Actually, like a crock pot, maybe? That's a good question. I've never questioned croque monsieur or croque madame, the sandwich. It's a ham and cheese sandwich, like ham, yeah. Bechamel cheese, all that stuff. So people don't care about the French. They care about soccer. And here we are. MLS has started.
It has.
We had a match today. We did. Messi and company at Miami, Yedlin and company, won 2-0. My fantasy team did quite well, not because I had Messi, but I had the young stars, their goalie calendar and their and Robert Taylor. People don't listen to me when I say they're not just all a bunch of old players. They have some really young, exciting players on that team, and they're going to make a run for the cup this year.
I'm curious. I'm going to wait and see on that, because a couple injuries, they're going to be in some trouble.
Yeah.
And defensively, they looked a little bit shaky.
Yeah, but you got to remember they brought in Julian Gressel, who is absolutely fantastic, who got finally freed from Vancouver after becoming the starting defenseman there for the United States. And it's nice to have seen him move to a better team.
Yeah, I mean, and I mean, we certainly know how good Chris Henderson is at putting together a roster.
Mm-hmm.
And he inherited quite a mess where he had a lot of sanctions. Oof, so, yeah. You know, I'm happy for him. Certainly happy for Yedlin. I will always love watching him play. But makes it a little easier that they're in the West or the Eastern Conference so that I don't have to scoreboard watch. I can just enjoy the game as it is and go, okay, whatever.
In fact, with we can root for them against the West.
Yes, absolutely. But with that said, I think I probably, in a lot of ways, I'd rather be Seattle than Miami.
Mm-hmm.
There are certainly not everything that glitters is gold, and sometimes there are some unintended side effects to having a roster like that.
And what happens when Messi retires and they have to start rebuilding and their ticket prices are really high and no one's going to the games?
Yeah, I'm curious about that. Miami has a long history, sports-wise, of not always supporting. Sports-wise, they also have a long history of trying to buy their way through championships if you're the Marlins. But
or the Miami Hurricanes. Oh, wow. College football.
Such a good deep cut there. But, yeah, so ultimately, it's entertainment for me. So watching them will be entertaining throughout the year. So we'll see how that goes.
Yeah.
Although I know some people that are flying to LA to see the Sounders play. And then I think the next day, the other LA team is playing Miami.
Oh.
And I think they're trying to take in both games.
That would be fun. I didn't even think about that. That would have been a good doubleheader.
Yeah.
So that's not all the soccer that happened today. We, of course, are in the middle of the Women's Gold Cup. And actually, as we speak, Brazil and Puerto Rico are tied 0-0 in the 75th minute. And U.S. women's team played in L.A. yesterday to the lowest attendance on the season for all of since 2023. Like, they had no lower attendance. It seems kind of crazy that a tournament of this caliber isn't getting people out. Do you think it's because it's winter in L.A. and people are cynical, or what do you think is going on there?
Well, I think CONCACAF has a long history of not being able to stop stepping and tripping over themselves.
True.
So I would certainly think that a lot of it has to do with the organizers themselves, which is too bad because it's it's really kind of frustrating to see the women's game growing so encouragingly on a global setting, especially in Europe. And yet sometimes we just keep tripping.
Yeah. Yeah. But I will say, with the USL Super League, the USL Women's League, getting D1 status, equal status to the NWSL, it's going to be fascinating what happens to women's soccer and how it grows in this country, considering we have two different leagues that are both considered the top flight league.
Yeah, and this might be, unfortunately, we never got to see that truly in MLS versus NASL.
Yeah.
Partially because of the relationship of U.S. soccer and MLS and some, which is no more now. But historically, there wasn't really a credible threat to the MLS dominance. But here in the women's game, NWSL has the advantage of 13 years of lead time. But I'm curious to see if the goal is to compete against NWSL or if the goal is to find the markets where NWSL doesn't have a foothold, because there's certainly plenty of soccer to be played throughout the country.
Yeah.
You know, your NWSL doesn't have a ton of teams still. So the market share is there. So I'm just curious to see what the goal is for the USL, if they're going to try and set footholds in existing markets or if they're going to try and stay away from those existing markets.
Yeah, I think it's too early to tell, obviously, but their eight first teams may signal that they are staying away, because they're in Brooklyn, Carolina, Dallas, Fort Lauderdale, Lexington, Tampa, Washington, D.C., and of course, Spokane. So they're going to be over there in Eastern Washington.
But three out of the eight already have an NWSL.
True.
Market, depending on what Carolina, what area of Carolina.
That I don't know. But I mean.
But of course, New York and Brooklyn, yeah, plenty of space. Yeah.
Yeah. And I think that's I think you could probably handle both in the Western Washington if you wanted to do that. Honestly, there's so much love for soccer here.
Yeah, I'd hope they don't, because I already have season tickets to Ballard and the Rain and the Sounders and
you don't got your Junction FC tickets?
No.
I might need to change my allegiance, because Ballard's a lot further away from me than West Seattle.
I get it, but I mean, I got married at Golden Gardens. Which is right in Ballard. My daughter's name is Roma. The Ballard colors are Roma FC colors.
If you love to travel, Capital One has a rewards credit card that's perfect for you. With the Capital One Venture X card, you earn unlimited double miles on everything you buy. Plus, you get premium benefits at a collection of luxury hotels when you book on Capital One Travel. And with Venture X, you get access to over 1,000 airport lounges worldwide. Open up a world of travel possibilities with a Capital One Venture X card. What's in your wallet?
Terms apply. Lounge access is subject to change. See CapitalOne.com for details.
Lived in that area. Like, there's no way I could be anything but a Ballard FC supporter.
Yeah. I mean, I'll always root for Ballard. They were my first USL2 team. But I'll just have to root for multiple. Like, right now I have two League One teams League Two teams because my Forest Green Rovers now have to compete against Wrexham, and that show won me over. I'm a stupid American, and it won.
Hey, you know what? Okay, all kidding aside, what I really love about the Welcome to Wrexham is that show is the closest analog that I've seen to when I try and explain to friends and family who understand that I really am into soccer, but maybe aren't. They don't get supporter culture or the community around soccer. And that's something in the first season in particular, the show really was able to successfully highlight is the way a community rallies around a club and what I love about soccer. I mean, as you know, I am certainly heavily involved in a lot of different organizations around the sport here in Seattle, but all of it, my end goal is always the same, which is how can I use my passion for growing community around the sport that I love? Because building, and maybe that's a small town mentality, growing up in a tiny town where you know everyone, and maybe that just kind of always stuck with me of searching for that sense of community no matter where I live.
Yeah, it truly is a community. As Brazil scores here to take the lead over Puerto Rico, sorry I got distracted. You're giving this like meaningful talk, and then I'm like, oh, Gabby Nunez, goal! But I think that's it, right? Like, it's more than a sport; it's a community, and that's why we're such big Sounders fans, and that's why people are listening to this podcast. That's why people go into the Discord and talk to us. It's because we're not just fans; we live and breathe this stuff, and we feel like we're part of the team.
Yeah, and sometimes that can be dangerous or toxic. Sometimes that can be stressful. Yeah. But at its heart, I mean, beginning of the year, maybe now the time to get all sentimental and kind of looking at our passion for the sport. But at its heart, it's the people, the moments, the all the different things that the sport and the Sounders in particular has brought us are the things that I appreciate the most. Mm-hmm. And loving to contribute to that, loving to grow that, and get excited at the beginning of each season when you don't know what special moments that you're going to remember that are going to happen this year.
Yeah. And let's hope there's many to come. But before we get to that, before we get to the Sounders, I think it's important to hit two topics, because I know that Aaron and I haven't touched on them, and I'm not sure how much, or if at all, you touched on them on the episode I wasn't on. I didn't listen. I hit play and let it roll, so it got the download, but I was too much FOMO for me to listen. But
we know, because we put a little Easter egg in there for you specifically to see if you were listening.
I'm going to have to go listen then. I started it, actually. I got a few minutes in, and then I was like, Aaron didn't use the thing I recorded for him. And so then I stopped listening. But
we did listen to it. Maybe we listened to it later together. I just don't know if it made it into the final cut for whatever reason.
Yeah. It's all good. So I think there's two really important things to hit, and I'm actually glad you're here to talk about these, because they're super important topics and something that I think some people know about and others are really questioning what's going on. I'm obviously pro-union. I believe that you are as well. We are currently in a lockout with the MLS referees, where my understanding what has happened, and you can correct me if I'm wrong here, if you know, but was that there came to an agreement between the MLS and the referee or union organization, which isn't PRO, it's that SRPA or something like that. I can't remember the exact name of it. And I think four out of the five people agreed to it and thought that it was going to be accepted by the PRO referees, and then 96% of them rejected it. And it included I believe, double in raise in pay. Now, granted, I was having a conversation with an MLS executive who said this to me yesterday or the day before, so this is the MLS side on it. They were getting a double in pay, which means they were would be up amongst the highest in the world with some of the elite leagues. And but they weren't really sure why this person wasn't sure why it was rejected. I'm curious what you think about the fact that we've now started a season with SCAB referees. And I have mixed feelings on this, even though I am pro-union. How are you feeling about it?
Well, first off, I am very pro-union, and I do believe that this country needs more unions. It's very clear that we are in late-stage capitalism. We're not going to get into that. But if we really look at the short version without going into turning this into a completely different podcast altogether, I think that it's clear to me that businesses, corporations are taking advantage of the lack of unions to squeeze every bit of profit out of all of us. That's not great.
Yeah.
So, as much as I love soccer, I would love to see the union hold their ground, get what's coming to them. And I understand why they're using replacement referees, but I don't appreciate it, and I don't agree with it.
I mean, I was pleasantly surprised by their performance in the first game. We saw in the NFL how bad it can go, and I know I'm not talking about the fail Mary, because that was a catch if you watch it from behind the end zone. Clearly a catch for the Seahawks. You could have called the pass interference before that. But you can have major mistakes. But you're right. I don't like the idea of refs crossing the picket line to be referees. But there's one thing that I do know, is it seems like there is no repercussions for pro referees to do a bad job. I think I don't know if I agree it's this many, but Sounders fans in general believe that we lost 4 to 5 games last year because of them.
And I would say most teams believe they lost 4 to 5 games because of a ref. I mean, that's the nature of sports.
Right.
I guess my question to you would be this, and this is kind of a, you know, from your personal opinion, do you think that there's less consequence for pro referees in soccer? And that pro, I mean literally pro, the organization.
Organization, yeah.
Or baseball?
That's an interesting question. Baseball, probably. Although, because we have seen, like, now they keep those pitch graphs, right, that tell you how good they are and how bad they are.
And you can see, like, the missed call percentage and because baseball is more it's less arbitrary. It's very black and white. Either it's a strike or it's not. They were safe or it's not. It's not.
And they've also gotten significantly better over the last 20 years. Umpires used to be significant. They used to have their own strike zones.
Yeah.
When there was a separate league, like AL and NL had their own. Each league had their own strike zones, and then different umps had their own. But here's all I think. I want the union to win. I want them to figure it out. But I think there needs to be accountability for pro referees when a referee makes a mistake to a degree. I mean, as far as I know, the Sounders are the only team that's ever had a subjective red card overturned. Meaning, usually it's left up to the ref, and they're never going to overturn that. But we did. That was years ago now. But I think it was against Chicago and Harry Shipp in his rookie year, actually. But it's something that I feel like there is an accountability, and our refs are one of the things that make us not a professional league in the world. We're trying to be a top 10 league in the world, and we're never going to get there with the quality refereeing we have.
I mean, I would counter only with Premier League certainly has its issues with refs as well. So
especially,
I don't know if that's
this year,
what's going to hold it back. Year. Yeah. The Chicago one, was that Oba?
I think it was Oba, yeah.
Okay. I do remember this game. I think the main reason that this got overturned was I remember during the game, no one knew why the red card happened because I think a goal had just been scored, if I recall correctly, but no camera was on the incident. And so I think they ended up having to rely on like a 22 and all 22 type of thing.
They did go back and review it though. And the kind of red card it was, when it's subjective like that and not objective, like you have to give one in this situation or you don't give one. Mm-hmm. They'd never overturned a MLS ref before that. And that was that Salazar? I think it might have been Salazar.
Maybe. Something happened with him where he had like a health thing where he could no longer ref, so he was like leading refs or training refs.
He interestingly got much better.
He got much. That's kind of what I was getting. Not only for the Sounders, but for many people where when I found out he wasn't reffing anymore and why he wasn't reffing, I was actually really disappointed.
Yeah. He did blow that U.S. Open Cup, in my opinion, but he did get much better.
Yeah. I mean, unfortunately, it really was. But, you know, the one thing that kind of gets me where the kind of refs that I really tend to clash with are the ones who basically will take strong home field environments and almost as if they're trying to say, oh, I need to prove, go out of my way to prove that I'm not biased by going in the, like, overcorrecting. And where they, in big game situations, tend to call again. And it's not just the Sounders, you know, it's kind of it's a personality thing. Whether they are overcorrecting or whether their personality is to be a fascist. I had to choose my words carefully there, but, I think there's, and for full context, I've officiated high school basketball, high school baseball, softball, hockey, soccer. We talked about this earlier, my love of community, it kind of ties into why I would officiate because I love trying to bring people together. I love trying to be someone who can be fair and an arbiter of that. So I really love the challenge of reffing.
I do think we're too hard on refs, though, in general.
Oh, agreed.
I mean, lots of times people will be like, well, how did you not see that? Well, the ref's standing behind the player, not looking at it from the sideline we are, or whatever it is. So it's just for me when it's an obvious, egregious call or when they refuse to overturn themselves on VAR when it's clear.
Yes, that kind of stuff. That ego, when ego gets involved, that's usually my criticisms. One of the things that I love to do, and feel free to steal this, is when a ref is making a call, to me, one of the biggest things that I see and I look for is, are they in the right position mechanically? Are they using the right mechanics to be in a position to make the call? If the answer is yes, then you know what? I got to try. They put themselves in the right position to make the best call they could. Great. I do have a problem when a ref isn't using the tools at their disposal, whether it's I'm not in the right position mechanically or I have this tool of VAR and I'm ignoring that because of ego. That's where I have the big problems. Those are the kind of refs that I will have the least amount of respect for. And they know who they are.
You've been Geigered.
Oof.
Everyone hates Geiger, though, is the funny thing.
Yeah.
For
me, it's Uncle. Uncle is.
Geiger was a few years ago's uncle, but Ted Uncle's fall from grace, from World Cup referee.
Geiger was a World Cup referee.
That's true, too. Yeah. I mean, but to fall from those heights down each time is just, it's stunning to me. What happens, like, did something change in their life? Did their eyes get worse because they need glasses? Like, I don't know.
Well, again, and I think in both of their cases, it comes down to personality. Mm-hmm. I can think of Geiger in the Gold Cup absolutely losing control of a game. And I think it was against Panama because I think Roman Torres was ready to tear him a new one. I think it was Panama, Mexico, if I remember correctly, where the game just got completely... I don't know why my brain remembers these things, but... just completely lost the plot. Uncle, another one of those people that it's all about him. And I hate that kind of personality. I just hate that kind of personality.
To me, the ref is there to make sure that there's an equal playing field and that the players can shine. They're not there to be seen. The less we hear from the ref and less necessary, the better.
Angel Hernandez, you know,
Pavarotti. What was it? His name?
On Naked Gun. Enrico Palazzi. Does that sound right? Enrico Palazzi. I think
or Palazzo. I think it might have been.
Oh my god, that's so good. Sidebar.
Yeah.
I did watch Naked Gun probably about 6 months ago or so for the first time in maybe 20 years. And outside of the very weird culture shock of seeing O.J. Simpson in the movie and remembering that...
Great actor.
Yeah, great. Man, when he was running through that airport trying to catch his rental car.
I've been there. I'd been there.
So have I. But outside of the O.J. Simpson part where it kind of takes you out of it, it actually, I thought it held up pretty good.
Oh, yeah.
And I don't know how much of that was just nostalgia for the 90s. And
no, but the opening scene when he's undercover with all the world leaders that are the Axis of Evil.
It's so silly. It's so silly. It's just good stuff.
We've now talked over 10 minutes, maybe 15 minutes on referees. Let's jump into a new topic because people are like, man, F the refs.
Okay. I'm going to close this one out.
Okay.
What are your favorite referee chants?
That's a tough one for me because traditionally I would have said, I'm blind, I'm deaf, I want to be a ref.
Okay.
However, I feel like we shouldn't be putting down our blind and deaf communities by saying they're like referees.
Given that I will be getting hearing aids again in the near future, I can appreciate that.
Yeah. The ref you suck one, I got a little flack for this, but I love the idea of it, but the suck thing is a little close to the YSA chant to me. And I think that ultimately that has some maybe mild homophobic. I mean, I use the words that sucks all the time, but I try not to because I think ultimately that did come from.
Like, that was the etymology of it was that. Yeah. And I can understand that. I mean, personally, I like using hand gestures, putting up for 2 R's, 4 E's, 1 F and referee. And I like that for a couple different reasons. One, you get to use numbers 2, 4, and then I use my middle finger for the 1. But 1 F in referee and 1 F in referee, both you know. So I just like that one. It's got a good play on words. That one just kind of always makes me happy. And one that just doesn't get as much use, which I'd rather do than ref you suck, is referee wank wank wank. You know, I just like that.
Yeah.
Especially when you got, 2,000 people giving the wanking motion.
Referee's a wanker. I will say, and sorry, Aaron, you're going to have to put the explicit label on this one. There was not a lot I enjoyed more than a full kingdom in the 80s and 90s while the entire stadium chanted bullshit after a bad referee call.
I mean, our last home game had a moment, man. I hadn't heard a stadium turn on a ref like that in the playoff. Like, that was impressive.
The ref you suck chant took over the entire stadium.
That was impressive. I am a little... I don't like trying to... Like, I sit in the Brougham end. I'm a potty mouth, but I don't like swearing just for the sake of swearing, but anytime Ted Uncle is playing, I just so badly want to do a South Park, just get a couple rounds of shut your fucking face, Uncle Fucka. And I just want the drums. I just want that so bad, and he deserves that. I may even make a two-pole, a South Park two-pole next time just to have set up when he's playing. But I have to do it in a clever enough way that I'm not going to get censored.
Yeah, no swear words in that instance.
Exactly.
So referees, done.
We're done. Sorry, I had to stop
all
there.
All we have to say is we hope that the league works with the referees to get it done. The highest level.
Equitable.
Yep.
Equitable deal. Let's get the refs the resources they need to succeed. Let's have them be held accountable and figure out a way to entice more qualified referees yep. to join the ranks.
And before anyone gets on the players for not boycotting because of the referees, there's clauses in the CBA that prevents that. They cannot have a walkout on behalf of other unions, only their own. So I don't think they ever anticipated to be referees. I think it was more around like, oh, if the like food workers inside the stadium strike, then the players can't strike with them. But so don't get on the players. It's not their fault. They legally cannot.
Much like airlines and certain industries can't strike even yep. if they want to.
But some of that is governmental fuckery when they were striking and laws were passed to prevent it. But I know a lot about that since my mom was a flight attendant. But yeah, let's talk about another soft, not very important topic that's not going to raise anyone's hackles.
Gold high tops?
Yeah. I mean, I tried to get my pair for $355 and they sold out too fast. But no, let's talk about so ISC just released a statement, which was a statement I wrote that came out a couple weeks ago, but now as a campaign has started, which is hashtag save the cup, save USOC. So let's talk about the US Open Cup. 100 plus years of history. I think the first one was 1914. Is that right?
I believe that is correct.
Yeah. And so here's a tournament that's been around for over 100 years.
And at one point before COVID, I believe it was the longest running, continuously running yep. soccer tournament in the world. Certainly helps when, you know, other nations have had, you know, world wars.
Yeah. And during our world wars, it, you know, I think you can still field youth teams in it, right? So they were able to still have teams play in World War II and whatnot. But MLS, of course, decided to play the MLS Next Pro teams. That was rejected by U.S. Soccer. Now there's some talk of only having some MLS teams in there. I believe today all USL 1 teams agreed to be in it. I'm not sure if they've heard from all the USL Pro and USL 2 teams, but
USL 2 was not going to be everyone, because like Ballard FC's USL 2.
Yeah.
Only, I think, 8 USL teams. And keep in mind, USL 2, there's something like 150
right. you couldn't
teams. So, yeah. So they have to, they're eligible to play in it, but they're not mandated. I think only D1 and D2, I believe, doesn't have to qualify.
Yeah.
For it. They'd get entry at some point. I'm not 100% sure on that.
And last year we had the team from North Seattle, the Octo Sharks, or Sharknado? No, it's like the Sharktopuses.
Sharktopus.
Yeah. We're a team out of North Seattle, semi-pro or maybe just not pro at all team, were able to make it through. And I think they were one game out from playing a meaningful yes. game.
They were in the final qualifying to make it into the next round of the Open Cup.
Yeah, so
first round.
So I mean, there's teams around here that take it seriously, and of course, it's some of my best memories as a Sounders fan have been at US
Cal FC
matches. Yeah, I mean, after they beat Portland, I'm not even talking about them playing us.
No, I know that's exactly where like never forget.
But I mean, I've only missed 3 home US Open Cup matches in history. The one where Nate Jaquia cut his head open.
And Zombie Jaquia.
And put the thing around his head. I, of course, missed the red card wedding.
Because we were in Women's World Cup. Yep.
And then I actually was down in Portland for a Seattle versus Portland match and watched us beat Portland at a house with like 12 Portland people. So that was super
Was fun. That the extra time that went into extra time? Zakawani was with Portland and we ended up winning just before penalties,
yeah,
I think.
That sounds right. Yeah.
Yeah.
I think I was in always the second torn. I mean, I obviously would never root for Portland, but I did root for Steve because I've known him since his first year. Yeah. I helped run his nonprofit. Like I was, you know, as his lawyer. So
and being an Open Cup game, that was kind of like his chance to come back from and get some meaningful minutes.
Yeah.
When he wasn't getting a lot of that in MLS play. I was at that game, so I do recall that.
It was fun watching the Sounders win in a house full of Portland people. But anyway, we don't know what's going to happen. A lot of people are talking about they're going to boycott Leagues Cup if the MLS doesn't honor putting all the teams into the U.S. Open Cup, primarily because the main excuse the U.S. or MLS is giving is that they now have too much
fixture congestion.
Yes.
Yeah.
And I will say, you and I were in a meeting the other day with Sounders president Hugh Weber. Is that his last name?
Yep.
That sounds weird right now because of, I don't know. He, after listening to him talk about the League's Cup and what it means to the MLS and the teams and how the MLS wants to grow as a league and being able to play meaningful games against Mexican teams, I understand why it's an important one. I also think it's the archaic roster rules in the MLS that are the problem, not the fact that they have two different tournaments. In England, they play the Carabao Cup, the FA Cup, Europa or Champions League, plus still Premier League. You could potentially be playing in four plus competitions. And Chelsea played in, they had to play the Europa Cup final and then immediately start playing Champions League games. One year, they had like a week where they held both, maybe it was a day where they held both trophies for being champions for both. So you often have congestion in your fixtures. It's just our rosters are not deep enough to allow for it. And I hate the fact that they're willing to throw away a 100 plus year old tournament where we have great memories because of, it's money. You're right. But still,
Yeah, and I mean, and I think I agree. I love the romanticize of it. I think it is kind of the analog to that is the in England the two different cup competitions, the Carabao Cup and the
FA Cup.
Thank you, FA Cup. So there is a little bit of that. I don't have a problem with the boycott of the League's Cup. It's such a blatant money grab, especially if you're not going to compete with Mexican teams in Mexico.
Yeah.
That's your signaling right there that exactly what it is. And that's okay, but own that. But you can't also simultaneously complain about, oh, well, this tournament that we made up to make as much money as possible and give more games to Apple prevents us from our participation in the Open Cup, which that just seems disingenuous and seems.
Although Apple could have the U.S. Open Cup.
I mean, they'd have to negotiate that. I don't know what the current rights are.
They could get those rights, and they can't be that expensive. Here's the other problem about it is U.S. Open, like there was a time where MLS, it was their job to promote the Open Cup. That time has passed. That's no longer their duty under any contracts. There's nothing in place that says they have to. U.S. Open Cup has not done anything to better itself in terms of making it more visible, making it a more credible tournament. And I'm not saying I agree with the MLS because I don't think they should pull out, but I am saying that they need to start addressing some of these issues if they ever want to be able to stand up against the kind of money that the top leagues are asking for.
Well, I mean, clearly you just want more U.S. Open Cup babies, you know. You don't want them to pull out. They just want to, you know. I could not just let that sit. Sorry, I couldn't do it.
It doesn't work. Friends, it does not work. Make sure to wear protection.
You're not wrong on both points, both wear protection, you know, preventative family planning. It's a good thing. I mean, U.S. Open Cup has not exactly bathed themselves in glory, but they also, you know, some of it's self-inflicted for sure. But it's kind of difficult there if they're not getting the financial resources necessary to put on a tournament. Like if you've ever looked at the actual requirements that are needed at each stage to host a game and what's required of that. It's very interesting, the technical, reading the technical manuals on that. Yeah.
I will say this, as much as I don't want the MLS to leave it, if the U.S. Open Cup were to retain its bid to the CONCACAF Champions League, screw the MLS. Let a USL team get that. How much more fun would that be for the MLS to lose one of those spots and have a USL team with the chance to go in? Now, I'd want that guarantee before I'd be okay with the MLS ever leaving that. But I would much rather see a USL team getting a chance to play, because you never know what could happen.
Yeah, I mean, they're a Saprissa, one of the one of the other teams that make their run. Now, granted, add insult to injury, put them in pot A, put them in pot A with the guaranteed break, and then make the Inter Miami or whatever team that has the best coefficient that didn't win a trophy, make them go into pot B. Make them play
Inter Miami at Ballard.
Oh my God!
Inter Miami playing in Memorial Stadium.
Because keep in mind, Ballard would have to, would have to win this year's Open Cup, so that'd be next year.
Yeah.
After Memorial Stadium's already done, Inter Bay, back to Inter Bay.
Inter Bay.
Inter Miami at Inter Bay. That's what I want to see. That reminds me of the year the Sounders basically like landed Donovan and Beckham in the Open Cup were playing at Starfire, if I recall correctly.
Yeah. Here's the thing is Starfire, it was such a cool little intimate venue for U.S. Open Cup. There's nothing more fun than seeing, because you're on top of the field. Yeah. It's not, you're so separated when you're at a place like Lumen. And I love Lumen Field as a home stadium for regular season games, playoff games. But for those U.S. Open Cups, there's just something special about playing them there.
I mean, this wall behind me is the field line. You're right there. You're right on top of it. The way that the overhang side reverberates that sound. Just all the great memories, the success, that certainly helps. Success really will help build tradition. Yeah. One of my favorite things was the march out for the teams. They'd have kids, like 12-year-olds, holding flags of the U.S. flag, the Canadian flag, the MLS flag, and the respective teams' flags. And in our big 2014 U.S. Open Cup run, when we ended up winning the Open Cup, I recall all those games at Starfire, ECS very, very vocally would inevitably get a chant to the kid that had the misfortune of holding the opposing team's flag, because we would get a very loud, "Drop that flag, drop that flag," and it would just get louder and louder, and you'd see the kid like succumbing to peer pressure. You'd see the look of panic on at first. It'd be like smile, like, "Haha, that's funny." And then you see, "We're not stopping." And then slight tinge of fear and then panic. And then you see the kid looking over at the other kids in the line with him. And they're looking at him like nodding their head, like, "Do it, do it." And keep in mind, at this point, there are no adults around. The kids are just out there kind of on an island all by themselves. And I remember one of the kids, kind of slowly started lowering it a little bit, and we got louder. And he let the flag kind of drape the ground, and he was a hero. But no, little things like those little moments, that's just, it's silly, completely silly. But that's one of my favorite Starfire memories, is just psychologically torturing a 12-year-old and teaching him peer pressure, apparently. I guess I'm just a real, real jerk.
Did you happen to go, and it was in the middle of your work day, so probably not, but it was, I think it was a Wednesday, to the Sounders 2 versus T2 match there when the minor league teams were in the USL and were allowed to play in the US Open Cup?
I did not go to that game.
They played it like Wednesday at like it might even been earlier that, because we had a Sounders game versus Colorado that night at home. And so I went to that game, and that was, there was like 10 of us there. And I remember as the Sounders were on a breakaway running down the field, my seats were on the open side, and I was already only one of 9 people who had seats on the open
side.
And so I ran with the players along as they were running down the field, and then they kicked it in the goal, and then I was in the stands like going nuts. And it was just truly
like the kid at a train station running alongside their dad leaving. You know, I could just picture you.
Yeah. It was so much fun. And I love Starfire, though. Just getting to sit there. Usually it was for Sounders 2 matches, but just getting to sit there and listen to Schmetzer and Pineda get a running commentary of the game, because no one sat on my side. So they were like 3 seats away from me. And but, you know, occasionally U.S. Open Cup stuff that would happen. But so save the cup. That's where I'm at. What you thinking?
I mean, yeah, a lot of what we've talked about, the history, the tradition. I'm a romantic at heart. I love the Open Cup. I love the concept of it. I love everything about it. I love that ECSFC, our, you know, the Emerald City Supporters Football Club, we have 11 teams across RATS, GSSL, Arena Sports, all throughout Seattle. We could theoretically enter a team and play in the Open Cup.
That's what's so great about that. Like, any of us could just form a team and have a chance to advance and play professional teams if we put a good enough team together.
Some of my favorite moments are that team in DC that and when they scored that first goal a couple years ago, you know, obviously Cal FC beating Portland, never forget. Care Like We Do, I believe, was there TIFO following that. Timbers Army were not happy about that. I love that. I'm very curious to see what's going to happen with Ballard FC. Because Ballard FC is in the U.S. Open Cup, but their games are going to be months before their season starts. So I believe the rule is there's waiver processes for USL team because they are a summer pro. I did have a conversation with Lamar Nagel about this the night we actually launched our new brand evolution. I got a chance to talk to him, and because I'm a big Ballard FC fan, I was like, "Hey, Lamar, can I ask you, you know, about this?" And he explained some of the rules because they had just won the national championship. I'm curious to see what that roster is going to look like. I wouldn't even be shocked to see them sign a player like a Roman Torres. I wouldn't be shocked to see them bringing. I have no idea what's on the table. Like, anything can happen.
I will say Ramon is doing a great job down at the Tacoma Stars, though. I don't know if we can afford to lose him.
I do want to go down there and see him. I actually, back here behind me, I do have, I won one of those.
Fine Roma.
Well, that too. But I won, back when the Sounders were doing the season ticket holder, like match day app. Match pass app things. I won Roman Torres' MLS Cup jersey from 2017. Obviously, I got a feeling he wasn't going to give it away, the 2016 jersey. But so I have that, and I would love to have him sign that. So I was thinking about maybe bringing it down to a Stars game and checking that out for sure.
Yeah, that would be cool.
Excuse me. I do need to open up one more beer, so.
Do it. And really, we should move on to talking Sounders here because we have been going for 50 minutes. But I do want to mention, shout out to Keith Costigan, former announcer for the Seattle Sounders, now head coach of USL2's Ventura County Fusion.
Oh, I did not catch that news. Congratulations to him.
Yeah, so it just came out a couple days ago. So I thought that was pretty cool. And it sounds like he's still on the Apple broadcast, but he's been doing broadcasts from the LA area for a while now via feeds.
Yeah. So,
although he did fly up here most of the time. So yeah, shout out to former Sounders announcer Keith. That'll be cool to see what he can do down there. And of course, did they announce the Junction FC? Is it Junction City FC? Did they announce the head coach yet?
I have not heard.
The West Seattle Junction FC head coach, if they've announced it, I don't know if they haven't, I don't want to give it away. That's what I'm a little afraid of, but it is someone very near
West Seattle Junction is the name of the team. So the West Seattle Junction FC.
Yep. Yeah. So if they haven't announced their coach yet, I don't want to give it away, but it's someone near and dear to our hearts. I think they might have, because they announced the goalkeeper coach. I'm kind of going through and looking right now on their Facebook just to see.
Former Sounders take over as coach of the USL League Two sides. And then,
so there you there. So that's
Ole Town. Well, so, James Riley will lead the Ballard FC. But no, I don't think they've announced it, because then Olympia's Ole Town hired Jason Dunn.
All right,
I don't think they've announced anything yet.
I don't think they've announced it yet. Then, so I don't know how much I can say. I will say they've announced assistant coaches and goalkeeper coaches, and check this, they've announced their partnership, which their sponsorship, main sponsor, which is Easy Street Records. So
okay, that's pretty cool. You know, yeah. I mean, you see these 600 yeah. vinyl records behind me, so
yeah, mine are right behind me, you just can't see them, but yeah. Anyways, let's forget all about that. Let's talk Sounders. Now, we've had some scuttlebutt. We need to get into the fact that we actually have a match this weekend, but first, let's take the scuttlebutt, because we're pretty far in, and you know, this has been a great show. I don't want to edit anything. I think we've done perfect the way we are. But Seed 97 asks, how quickly do you guys expect Pedro de la Vega to make a tangible impact on the team's play? Is it going to take him a while to get into the, you know, to have an impact?
Historically, players need a little bit of time to adjust to MLS play. The X factor here is, historically, we tend to make our big signings in the middle of the season.
Yeah.
So that's the X factor, is you know, getting a preseason with the team. Will that allow him to hit the ground running?
Yeah.
And I mean, I'm optimistic.
I am too. I don't know where he's going to play. And that's
in Seattle with the Sounders. He's not going to play with Tacoma Defiance. I'm pretty sure.
Yeah, that's good then. I was worried about it. Is he starting ahead of Chu? Is he starting ahead of Rusnak? Are we moving Christian back to center defensive mid and putting our new number 8 on the bench? Like, what is he? And also, who's starting at forward? I mean, people seem to think it's going to be Rui Diaz because he played more minutes this preseason. But I feel like that's more just getting him back into the swing of things. I would think Jordan would start up top, but I don't know. Do you think he's going to split minutes with Leo on the left there, or what do you think is going to happen?
No, he's going to start. He's our new DP signing. He's our number 10. He's going to start. I mean, those are signals right there about intention.
Yeah. Young DP, of course.
He's going to get his opportunity to start. I think with the Jordan and Raul question, certainly I guess I would probably say, you know, is Raul an every game starter at this point? I think last year was kind of interesting to see him coming off the bench quite a bit.
I mean, he was hurt most of the season, yeah. So he's healthy now. And if he can stay healthy, he's going to push for minutes. You know how he is.
But I do think Leo Chu's the odd one out, the one that might be the attacking sub that can kind of fulfill, you know, late Sounders career Marco Papa, late Sounders career Victor Rodriguez.
Dempsey, after he had his heart issues and was coming back.
Yeah, I mean,
it's that super sub that can come on, and when the team is tired and they're maybe not, they're leaving a little more holes in the defense. And and he can just slice right through it. Here's the thing, though. He tore it up this preseason, too. I don't know how you sit Leo after what he did this preseason. So because
you have a talented team.
Yeah, I mean, true.
I mean, that's the answer right there. You got a talented team. I mean, look at last year. We were asking ourselves at the beginning of the year, why? Because didn't Yamar get benched for the first game? And we're like, what the hell's going on? And Jackson Reagan just kind of really was a revelation. But then Javi wasn't getting many games. And it's just always, fighting for your spot.
I will say, concerning Javi, something that we talked about a lot on the show was the amount of money he was making. Yeah. And ultimately, he wasn't actually making that much. It was because his this was from a Sounders person told me this, that what happens there is that his transfer fee gets spread over X number of years.
Yeah.
So that was applying to that. So his dollar amount this year will be much lower than it was before, even though he's under the same contract.
Yeah, because I think the transfer fee gets amortized over, I believe, up to 3 or 4 years. Yeah. I think you're right about that. I didn't know the details of his contract in particular, but I do know that does happen with the transfer fees.
Yeah. I don't see Javi. I don't see how he plays a lot of minutes. He seems. He gets brought into that national team, but he just doesn't, whatever it is, he doesn't do it for us. I don't see the skill set that he's showing at that national level.
Javi has shined for us in the past. For me personally, it just got really hard to root for him after his unfortunate.
Yeah.
Social media posts and that, and
I was down on him before that, so
yeah,
I didn't think he should be on the field before that, just because we have Reagan as a much better option.
But I do love, I love what Reagan's bringing. It's such a bummer that that he's literally following the Chad Marshall career path, which is getting himself injured when he gets called up to the U.S. national team so he doesn't get to shine. Like, if you ever wonder why Chad Marshall only had, like, 3 U.S. caps, even though he might be the MLS's all-time best defender.
I mean, the award's named after him.
I don't think officially, but I think we call it the Chad Marshall. I don't think so. I'm pretty sure it's not. Because I think a lot of people would love to see Eddie Pope be named after him as well. But at this point, it is not. I believe only the Landon Donovan has one.
Donovan. Yeah. All right. So we have another question that is less Sounders related and more MLS, but coming from our good friend Muffin Top Model, fellow Alliance Council member. First part is, any idea what the financial breakdown is between streaming versus butts in the seats? Why is it so hard to get people in the stadium? Same with the league. Feels like MLS doesn't give 2 poop emojis about fans versus Apple TV subscribers. Should we just go back to empty stadiums and green screens? Now, he's being a little facetious there. But, I mean, the Sounders don't get anything from Apple TV, as far as I know, directly in terms of selling subscriptions. So clearly that wouldn't be a factor. Why is it so hard to get people in the stadium? I think we live in a different world post COVID.
Yeah, I think that's primarily the answer right there. You see that in every sport, across every sport. There are certainly other factors. It's tough when you see other soccer clubs enticing people with good, food options, concession options, deals to get people in.
Let's not forget that we still have the 2 hot dogs, 2 waters, and a bucket of popcorn for $12. That's a heck of a deal.
Not wrong.
I can't eat most of those, but
I think, I think they made a decision a few years ago when a certain Sounders front office person calculated out the restructuring of all the season ticket seats. And he did that when he was working with Major League Baseball teams. He did that with us. I know his name very well because I just won't forgive him for that. I think he kind of, that was the turning point to the steady growth the Sounders were having with season tickets to a stoppage and then a regression. Sure, there are other mitigating factors, but when you lose so many season ticket holders, it's hard to and get them to come back. It's like once they're gone, like, well, I guess I didn't miss that as much as I thought I did, or I can, yeah.
And now he's been gone for long enough, and they've changed course multiple times because of different things.
But that damage was done, though. I mean, that to me was the breaking point.
Perhaps when the number one reason why they lose season ticket holders every year, and this is not ECS's fault. It's because people get tickets behind ECS. And they go, they're waving flags. Like, don't sit behind there then, morons. Sorry if that's you, but like, there's signs everywhere that say they're going to be flags.
But the other side is those are the cheapest seats in the stadium. So people are like, let's give that a try. What seats are available? Well, these seats are cheap. Let's take those seats. And they just don't know what they're getting into.
Right. But I hate when people complain when they don't. It's like when someone buys a house next to a bar and then they complain that the bar is too loud. Like, come on.
An airport.
Yeah. So, like, I mean, I just ECS makes the games better by leading chants and getting the crowd riled up and getting the players riled up, and actually sometimes makes the other team better because it's such an awesome atmosphere that the other team steps up. So yeah. I just, you know, for me, it comes back to that. It's a losing effort to beat TV. This is not new. This is something the Seahawks have been talking about since when the Sounders were still on their early years. What can you put in the stadium to make people want to show up to a game other than winning? If you win, people show up. But one thing the Sounders did do, and it's something that people are now complaining about, and I think mainly it's those of us who like to watch soccer all day long, but it seems like families are too. They don't like Saturday night games. But now that the games were every Saturday night, attendance went up. The show rate went up because everyone knew every Saturday night there was going to be a game at 7 p.m.
And you could plan around that.
Right. And so that which was done along with Apple TV, I think had a huge positive impact in terms of turnout. Now, it makes families upset because they don't want their kids out that late. It makes those of us who want to sit down and watch soccer all day long upset because we get two game windows now instead of like six.
Yeah.
I'd much rather, especially now that the Pac-12 doesn't exist and I only have Husky games to watch. I'm not watching college football. I don't care about college football. I want to watch soccer all day long.
Yeah, I think the year before last, when the last year before the Apple TV deal, we literally played on every day of the week. We had a home game every day of the week, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday.
Yeah.
So having some level of consistency certainly has made things a little easier. I definitely like what they're trying to do. I think it can be tweaked a little bit where it doesn't necessarily have to be the same exact start time every time.
Agreed.
But
the players also, that's another thing, the feedback that the players have given, because I know people around me say, well, they should be playing at noon then. Well, number one, if they play at noon, that means I have to be there at 8:30 in the morning to set up. So please no. That's the first no. But secondly, the players don't want to be there at 8:30 in the morning either. They want to be there at night so they can get up, have breakfast with their family, slowly make their way over to the facility, eat some food, get ready, and get out there and play. Like, they don't want to be playing that early. I imagine it's similar to when the Seahawks used to have to play on the East Coast for those 10 a.m. games and always get smoked. Doesn't happen anymore, but it did happen for a while. What about his second question here? basically, the league doesn't care about fans. It only cares about Apple TV subscribers.
I think it's been very clear over the years that they care about money.
Yeah.
A lot of their decisions, it's all about money. Not to be cynical, but, you know, their actions have made that very clear, whether that's, you know, aggressive expansion, whether that's, the Calvin Ball type rules where they just make up stuff on the fly. They're trying to create a league that can compete in the global level.
And I think to me, that's more what, like, it's money, but it's more about being...
There is an end goal.
It's having a product that can get the league into the top 10 league in the world. And ultimately, with the amount of people that live in the United States, if it becomes, say, the number two sport in America, you're going to get a lot more talent playing soccer.
Yeah.
And then it's going to, everything's going to grow. I do think that people miss the point of Messi, which is there's people around the world that are paying attention to MLS who never have before. And I think the amount of subscribers doubled after Messi came in to the league.
I believe it's been stated that the number of subscribers outside the United States has grown on such an exponential level.
Yeah. Yeah. But I think the total subscribers were 1.3 million and it went to 2.1 or something like that. So I gotta be honest, as much as I don't love the wraparound show, it's not terrible. It's more than Fox was giving us.
Yeah.
Fox was giving, at halftime, Fox would give us highlights of the Sounders losing the MLS Cup to Columbus during Sounders CONCACAF games.
Give us content.
Yeah.
Give us content. You know, the more content, the better, you know? I mean, let's take that in.
And Apple TV is going to 8K cameras. It's all going to be better quality than anything we could have found anywhere else. And it's not like ESPN would be any better. ESPN's not going to be on TV in a couple of years. They're going to an only subscription model as well.
And taking that a step further, I think the Sounders are an interesting case where this last year, for Sounders fans, this last year was a little bit of a frustration point because the Sounders actually had a good existing game day presentation model.
Yeah.
But a lot of other teams did not have that. So a good majority of the teams saw vast improvement on what they were getting as a product, as an end product. The one thing I wish I'd see a little bit more is a little bit more investment in home announcers a little bit more, and this is the first year that they're trying to save their money. I get that, but it's going to be more the NFL model where you have your Tony Romo and whoever game, and
you could listen to
I'm not talking about the local radio broadcasts. Oh, okay. You know, and but that's a different challenge altogether, because technically speaking, because of lag time, because of how that all works, you could only get the home feed, the home audio feed. So that doesn't really do the Sounders much good.
No, because it bothers me, because if I'm watching a road game, that's when I want my home feed.
Exactly.
I will say, if you have a Google or Alexa, you can pause the TV until it gets to the right point. I did that for Jackson Feltz's first call as the main announcer, because I had to support my buddy Jackson. So
yeah. Shout out to Jackson.
Yeah, what's up, Jackson? You the man. So, yeah. All right, well, we got a game coming up, so let's quickly hit that here before we run on too long. The Sounders are playing LAFC coming up. I mean, what a rough start to the season. Let me tell you, we couldn't have a soft landing. We have to go down to LA and play a game. And what do you think of the Sounders' form? Should we see anything out of what's been going on in the preseason? Because we didn't get our butts kicked, but we lost, I think, our last, three or four matches. I don't know what happened in the second game against Sacramento, but we lost to Sacramento 1-0. We lost to the last three matches we had against teams from Sweden or wherever they were from.
Yeah, that is good. The
starting 11 have not scored a game in two games.
And we sat people against Sacramento, though. We didn't have our full starters out there.
Correct. And to me, I try not to read too much into that. You know, preseason is simultaneously a chance to get familiarity playing together, a chance to potentially try new formations, to try, you know, hey, right now we've been working on these kind of play patterns. You know, we want to do these play patterns where when this position player gets the ball, then we're going to have patterns of, okay, we're going to move in these movements and then kind of getting that choreographed dance down and kind of learning that. Sometimes it takes time. When you're playing preseason games against teams like some of these Sweden teams who maybe are in the middle of a season, that's going to up the difficulty a little bit. I am not worried. But I can also not be super excited. It could just be a, hey, okay, well, let's see what happens when the season actually starts.
Yeah, I mean, matches this Saturday, 1:30 p.m. At BMO Stadium in Los Angeles. Not Carson. Make sure you're going to the right stadium. We're not playing the Galaxy. And I think the big question for me is, will our defense still hold up? Will we have the same skilled defense? Now, Yamar has been hurt. No. They did say that he will be playing, though, or he'll be available, I should say. I don't know if that means he starts, but
we will not. We have a great team. Our defense last year was kind of almost historic levels.
Yeah.
I think a reasonable expectation is that they will not repeat the numbers that they did last year. Now, hopefully that will also mean the offense will not repeat the numbers they had last year.
Yes.
Cause there were definitely times where it felt like a bit of a slog. I think we are going to have a very good defense. We got all the tools there. I think we will be definitely a top 10 defense, maybe even a top 5 defense. The question really kind of comes down to, what can our offense do? That's going to be kind of what we can do. And I think Pedro de la Vega, I think, has the tools to create explosive offensive play, also takes people on. And I love seeing that we're bringing in more and more players like that will take people on. It's one of the things I love about Leo Chu. You know, take people on and let's go from there and let's see what we can do.
Yeah. Awesome. I agree. I do want to say, Aaron and I were on a podcast recently, and I'm trying to bring up the name here. We'll put it in the show notes at the very least, to make sure that people can find it and listen to it. But we were asked who was their surprise player of the year. And he said his...
From last year?
No, for this coming year.
Okay, who did he predict?
Yeah, his Aaron's was Reed Baker Whiting. And the only way that happens is if he surpasses Nuhu and starts. So how are you feeling about Nuhu over there? I mean, he had a little struggle at the end of the year, maybe, and some people were kind of tired of his antics, myself included. But he obviously has a higher level of play, I think, than Reed. But Reed's maybe his ceiling's higher overall. I don't know.
I think you nailed it right there. Yeah. I mean, it comes down to you have a elite defender who isn't going to contribute as much on the offensive side versus a budding prospect who, if you are giving those minutes above Nuhu, is going to make some mistakes, but might be able to develop into something special. So kind of doing the risk management there of, you know, do you just automatically start Nuhu if he's healthy? Do you play to matchups? Will certain matchups be more advantageous than others? And I don't know the answer to that. I think if we see in the first three games, New Who being one of the first, you know, first to the bench in favor of Reed Baker-Whiting to give him some more minutes. If we're seeing Reed Baker-Whiting getting 25 minutes a game, that might be signaling that they are thinking about making that change.
Mm. Yeah.
But I really don't know. I like teams that have tactical flexibility. I like when you can bring in a player and change things up. The only question I have is that the direction? I mean, because typically, you know, if you're trying to change things up, maybe you might be down a goal. Is taking off a left back for another left back, is that going to be the exciting thing you have? But that's the advantage of, I love the fact that we did not get rid of the five sub rule from COVID. I think
it's such a great
that rule. might be one of the most the best unintended side effects of COVID is if that becomes a permanent part of the game, which it certainly looks like it is.
Yeah.
Is there any league that's gone back down to three that you know of?
I'm not sure. I know they were talking about going back in the Premier League, but honestly, Chelsea's been so bad this year that I've not watched a full game. I've just watched bits here and there.
So you mean by the time that they get to their third, fourth, fifth substitutions, it's already so out of hand, you're like, screw this game.
Yeah, I'm not watching. Or lately they've had some comeback wins, but I'm just kind of following it on my phone. So, yeah.
Side note. I was going to say, side note, I'm getting a report here. A friend of mine's texting me that down here in Magnuson Arena Sports, watching his wife play, and Brad Evans and Kellen Rowe are playing.
Oh, nice.
So if you want some good arena sports action right there.
Yeah, I used to go to that gym right there inside the arena sports. I lived up the block. So, yeah. What's your guess for final score of this match on Saturday?
Well, early game, early season, so I'm not expecting a bonanza of goals because the Sounders, you know, defense has been really good. But LAFC, what a wild card. I don't know what to expect from that team. And you know what? The reality is they've had some, you know, some deficiencies. My head wants to say that it's going to be like a 1-0 kind of game, kind of a bit of a slog.
Yeah.
But I kind of secretly think it might be similar to how we kind of shot out of the gates early.
Oh, wow.
Previously. I think it might be something stupid like a 3-0. I'm gonna put on some Homer glasses right now.
I would love that because the money line in Vegas has 55.6% chance of LAFC winning, 24.7% chance of a draw, and 19.7% chance of us winning. So if you were to put down, how does this work? I always get the money line confused because it's not straight.
We need fellow Alliance Council member and professional gambler Scott Chupak.
Yep. If you were to put down $100, you would win 380, so you would get 480 back. So I'm saying, if you think that's the case, Nick, you need to go put $100 down on the Sounders. Over under is 2.5 goals, and people are currently betting the under slightly. So, it's a rough one, right? Like, I don't know if the Sounders can overcome their firepower, but then I think about how much deeper the Sounders have gotten. Like, who did we lose? Well, we lost Nico, who I think is a huge loss from a culture perspective, but by the end of the season, he wasn't starting anyway.
I mean, let me just ask this. Right now, would you rather have Nico Lodero or Pedro de la Vega?
De la Vega, I believe. Obviously, I haven't seen him play other than, you know, clips. But we lost Kellen Rowe, Hebert, A.B. Sissoko, and Ethan Dobelair and Nico. But we gained Jonathan Bell and Nathan at defense. And then we have
Pedro. And if Nathan can get back to – if he can get back, he could be a start. He was one of the better center backs in the league.
Yeah. And then Danny Musovski, I can never say it, could be a great pickup, which also, I think he was in RSL last year, wasn't he?
Yes. Yeah. I mean, he had a contract dispute where, from the reports that I read, he was promised one thing and did not get what was promised.
Yep. He only started 14 games last year, but he was at LA.
Well, he held out. He basically was like, I'm not going to play.
But he had five goals and four assists for Salt Lake. And then the year before, he had two goals and an assist for LAFC, four goals and three assists, five goals and one assist. So he's gonna put in some minutes for us in a way that can get us goals and assists.
He's going to provide the off the bench and secondary scoring that we hope to get from Hébert, that we used to get from Will Bruin, who also, shout out, happy retirement, Will Bruin. Yeah.
Shout out to Will. What a nice
loved time watching him play.
And just having been able to spend time with him on the Alliance Council and see what a great dude he is, what a great dad he is. But back to Danny here. He has a career 72.66 passing percentage. Like, I think he's going to be a really good fit for our team. And I'm leaning towards that 1-0 match. I can't see Bwanga not scoring. So I'm going to go 1-1. I'll give us a draw.
Okay. I think that Danny is going to provide, you know, that Will Bruin role, the actual goals, and not just hypothetical goals like we're hoping for out of Hébert, hoping for out of Miguel Ibarra, hoping for out of Hercules Gomez, hoping for out of, you know, these, even to a degree, Freddie Montero. I think he'll be able to provide some of that.
Yeah. So what are you looking for in this game to get off to that start, that fast start? What do you want to see out of the box?
I don't think we're going to see a fast start. I think...
But you're 3-0.
I think we're going to... Yes. I think it's going to be maybe one goal in the first half. And then I think right around the time subs start happening, we'll get two more around, you know, around 70. And then kind of maybe one more as LAFC is trying to push down 2-0, trying to get... And we're going to get some breakout there.
So you think Freddie Juarez is going to get into Schmetzer's head and get him to sub earlier than the 80th minute? Is that what you're telling me?
We'll see. Actually, I kind of do in this particular case, just because I don't know how many players would be considered truly 90 minutes fit. Right. So I think it's early season, I would expect to see more subs.
Our bench depth is the drop off between the starters and the backup is way less than it may have been in years past.
Yeah, I mean, like we just talked about three people. And we still haven't even answered the Rui Diaz question. Yes. I mean, so we're talking about Leo Chu, Rui Diaz, Danny, Reed Baker Whiting. Of those four, there's a good chance all four are not starting.
Yeah.
And all of them can provide offensive spark off of the bench. I mean, Nathan, obviously, that's a different situation because you're not expecting offensive output from him.
No, but...
Although, man, wouldn't it be nice if we... First off, who's taking corners? I'm very interested... No, because that was a Nico role, you know? I'm Nico very... curious. Is Joao Paulo?
The other side, Joao Paulo, they switched off a little bit.
Yeah. What kind of free kicks does De La Vega do? What are we going to see from that? Who's going to be taking penalties? Who's going to be, these are the kind of questions that I'm very, very curious to see at the beginning
of
the season.
We lost four penalty takers, didn't we? Because we have no Freddie and we have no Nico.
Yeah. But Freddie was rarely in the game at a time when we would get a penalty. So, just, you know.
When Nico was hurt during that Champions League run, he was getting all those penalties.
Yeah. Absolutely.
All right, we should wrap this up. I could talk to you all night long, but we're 80 minutes plus in here.
It's the beginning of the season. People want content. We want soccer. Yeah. Wait, hang on a second. I just got to do this. I know this goes out to all those people that are watching or that are listening to us on 1.3 speed, knowing that you know, we're really, you're trying to get through your podcast a little faster.
Yeah.
I'm going to slow down. No, I can't even do that.
You know, actually, my new podcast app doesn't have a way to speed it up that way, but it has a way to edit the pauses to be shorter. And so when people talk, the space in between all the words is faster. So they're not actually talking faster, but your brain thinks that it is. So I've been doing that.
That's kind of trippy.
Yeah.
That's very trippy. My big thing is I do try as much as I can to avoid using and you know, in between words. Those are the things that really do bother me. I'd rather have that pause in between words than to fill it with
yeah, absolutely. As someone who, you know, I've just started my 26th year in radio last month, I've had to learn very quickly because I've had to listen to my voice and edit it so many times that ums and uhs drive me crazy.
And we're always our biggest critic for sure with the way our voice sounds. Like, I know that right now I'm fighting a little bit of, you know, chest cold.
You sound so good right now. You sound
sexual chocolate.
I'm a man.
Sexual chocolate.
Now, like, man, here's what I'm going to leave you all with before we go away to allow James to take it away. I want you to go out and listen to our fearless leader, Adrian Hanauer, talk. Just, you know, every time he talks, go find those interviews, listen to it. Then take a shot every time he says,
He don't do that. Why are you trying to kill people? Why would you do that? Why would you do that?
Because our good friend on the Alliance Council, he and I at one point decided to do this, and we couldn't do it because we would have died.
That's not a good idea.
Shout out to Lucas.
Hey, you know, I would like to say, one, let's start. Love to see everyone that's listening right now. I'd love to see you in Discord. Love to see you joining in that. Let's have a really fun season. Let's get some good energy. It's a special season. 50th year of Sounders. Lot to be excited for. I'm very curious. See, you know, we didn't even talk about the new kits. How did we?
We got stuck in a lot of other stuff. So, just give me your quick. We'll make them wait a little bit longer before we leave. Give me your quick, like, 2-3 sentence thoughts on the new kit.
Okay. One, loved the photo shoot to launch the new kits.
Yep.
It gave me ideas of a brown jacket and the jersey underneath it, like that. Those are my tones right there. Those are my patterns. Really love that. I am very curious to see how many times we do get those baby blue shorts to go along with those jerseys. The people that are critical of that jersey, I would probably say this. Look at all of the green jerseys we've had through our MLS history, our MLS era. There's only so many things you could do with that to make it interesting. This is interesting to me. I'm very, very excited to see how this looks. Is it an all-time favorite? I really love the Space Needle sublimation in the
that's my least favorite
that,
one.
Oh, I loved that one. It was just kind of random enough. But I'm very curious to see these. I'm excited to see these. I think it'll go really well with the socks and shorts, and I want to see all the picture together for sure.
And for me, I got to be honest, we saw it 2 years ago, you and I.
Yeah.
I wasn't the biggest fan. I actually did not see it the first time. I had to see it later. I think I was in Texas or something. No, that was for the Bruce Lee one. I wasn't available. I did not see it the first time it was shown. When I did see it, I wasn't really a fan. I wasn't that excited when it was coming out. The marketing won me over. The photo shoots won me over. The way that it showed that it not only can it be worn as a kit on the field, but it can be a fashion accessory off the field.
And I don't know if we've ever had that for our green jerseys.
No, never. I mean, definitely, I think with some of our third and/or community kits, fit that bill, but
oh yeah,
no, I think it's great. I also, so a lot of the people I see complaining, either A, don't realize that we're all too old. The jerseys aren't for us anymore.
Yes, they're not the market.
The market is getting kids out there wearing them, and then also, and creating a love of the brand, and then also I think that the throwback that people wanted already happened a few years ago, and it didn't sell well, at least compared to our other jerseys, as far as I remember.
Yeah, I mean
the white Heritage white or whatever it was.
I mean, that was literally a true recreation of something that had already existed for sure.
Yeah.
I think this hit the mark of having a vintage feel while recreating.
I think that's right. 'Cause it's not, they never wore anything like this, but to me, it has that 70s feel to it, but modernized into a way that it can be worn now.
Late 70s, early 80s. Yeah, I feel like I need that Luke Skywalker hair just kind of winging out a little bit, which happens every time I try and grow my hair out. So I have that awkward era where there's like 2 months of just really awkwardness before the length really starts to come in. But yeah, so we need more Luke Skywalker hair out there.
Yeah, so thumbs up from me, thumbs up from you. Tell us your thoughts, get in the Discord. The price I don't love, but hey, try them on. Yeah. Be sure to try them on, because I did try on 2 separate replicas that fit differently. So it's possible that they have a common cut, but every once in a while one is off. I don't know how. I got to buy one of the De La Vega, like, authentics at some point though.
Yeah, I am still struggling with the Providence side of it.
Yeah.
So I think I'm definitely not going to buy it at full price right now. I have 30 Sounders jerseys right there, something like that. Between training tops, jerseys, goalkeeper jerseys, I'm not at our colleague Jerry's level, but I'm definitely pretty high up there.
Yeah, I'm in the 60s, I think, for Sounders jerseys, and I will get it. I will say 2 things. 1, I can't get it yet because I'm in the process of losing weight and I'm between sizes right now, and I'm not getting the larger size. 2, Alba Kim, heat transfer vinyl letter remover number 1020 does a great job of moving that Providence logo if you would like to remove it.
I'm too anal retentive.
I know.
I can always see the ghosting.
Yep.
I can see the little ghosting. I will always know it's there. My eyes will always go to that. So I did buy a Bruce Lee kit from UK Heritage Football.
UK Classic shirts.
There we go. Yes, UK Classic shirts, where they got them before the Providence logo was announced. So I got one that was truly blank. I love it.
And it's possible they might show up there again early.
Maybe.
You never know. I will say that if you do like a lot of people other did and put Pro-Choice on there instead of Providence, it covers that right up though. So no, I mean, it would look a little different, but no one would notice.
I got to give a big shout out to my fellow pub leaguer, Lars Gunther, co-coach, my roommate when we went to Mexico City. He took the blank and he put a Dix logo on it.
Oh, it looks so good.
It looks so good. It looks so good. And I just love that. And it got me thinking about, okay, is there something I'd like to do? Reality is I'm probably just going to keep it blank. Just not.
Yeah, I mean, I don't want to get
free advertising.
I have all of the jerseys that I planned, like goalie jerseys I planned on getting made, still sitting upstairs in the closet. I never took them in to get made. So the likelihood of me getting anything done is always pretty slim.
Well, you let me know. You let me know if you need any help. I've had many a goalie jersey made.
Good. I have all the parts. I just need to find someone who still has the numbers, the old numbers, obviously.
Yeah. The
the big one for me was I designed a chest piece for the Champions League finals.
Yeah.
And the chest piece had the CONCACAF Champions trophy on it. And those things are such tiny little diamonds that when you put the heat transfer over it, if you don't cut that exactly right, and if it kind of like sticks, it has a tendency to want to move. So you got to like reposition those diamonds with like a tweezer. Very big challenge on that one. But I do have a home and away CCL final jersey for... That are amongst my favorites that I loved to bust out to wear.
So awesome. So we leave you, Scuttlebutt fans, knowing that you are in a better place from before you started this podcast until now, as Nicholas and I have endowed you with our knowledge, our stories, our inane idiocy.
And you know, Cameron, I will say, very well endowed. You are so you are such a trooper in that regard.
Yes, yes. I
ladies, I believe he's single.
I mean, I'm dating. Yes.
Oh.
Not. Oh. And perfect timing because my alarm just my broken alarm just went off and is going to beep in the background. So, yeah. If anyone would like to go on a date with me, let me know.
I mean, that's what this podcast, now we're getting to the meat of what this podcast is all about.
Absolutely. So with that, where can they find you on the internets before this beep gets too annoying behind me?
That sounds great. Come on out. I'm on X or Twitter, whatever it's called nowadays, at Nikita Banana, NIQUITABANANA. Or on Instagram.
Yes,
I know. I want to add the S every time. Or on Instagram at Cascades2C. Cascades2C, S-E-A. And then on Facebook, mainly through the ECS Pub League page. Absolutely. Come join us on ECS Pub League. Learn about what we do. And come join the fun if you're looking for a low-level, entry-level soccer. As I like to say, there's no one that is too bad for our league, only people who are too good for our league that maybe we need to find will help you find a different team to play on.
And sadly, I couldn't play the spring because my job at the Superhawks requires me to be at games on Sundays, so Sunday mornings, afternoons, sadly. But
that makes it tough. Soon. We're going to get you because Aaron's on my team this year.
Yep,
one of these days. I cannot announce what our team theme is yet. That is not public knowledge yet, but we have a fun design for our jersey and looking forward to it.
Awesome. Yeah, and you can get me at Legal Minded Punk wherever it matters. Take it away, James. Bye, Nick.
Bye.
You can follow the Sounder Scuttlebutt podcast on Twitter at SSFCScuttlebutt. And for all inquiries, including questions for the gents or sponsorship opportunities, please email contact@scuttlebuttproductions.com. Be sure to subscribe to the show for new episodes following every Sounders FC match. And don't forget to share your feedback by rating and reviewing. And you can follow me on Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook at BritVoxus. That's BritVoxUS. We'll see you at Lumen and go Sounders.
Alexa, who's the best MLS team of all time?
The Seattle Sounders are both unequivocally and irrefutably the best MLS team of all time.